This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Every thought is a dream, rushing
by in a stream, bringing life to the kingdom. It's 10:45. Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. I'm Jim Hewer, subbing in for Frank Cusimano on a line change here, basically.
Yes.
Basically what it is. They're down at the Enterprise Center, and it's time to go into the locker room and talk to the guys before they get ready for a game six tonight. In studio with me is Brian Hoffman and Darren Atkins. And is there anything going on today?
No, pretty quiet. Might storm tonight, so I guess the Cardinals will be rained out, which at that point, what do we talk about tomorrow?
I don't know. Apparently, these storms are going to be pretty wicked.
Yes.
They make it, I mean, when they start going a day and a half in advance of, hey, take cover, be ready, I'm a little worried about that part.
But I think they're going to try to get this game in, which I wonder, you know, first pitch, say 9:30, 10 o'clock. Can a player leave Busch Stadium? I'm asking for a certain catcher. Can a player leave Busch Stadium, then go down to the Enterprise Center, watch the Blues game,
you know,
and then come back down to Busch Stadium for first pitch?
We need some help from Fox Sports Midwest to get a camera in the dugout during the rain delay or in the clubhouse. And when the Blues get ready to come on the ice and the Cardinals in a rain delay, have Yachty from the camera at Busch Stadium kind of let's go Blues and get the guys out on the ice.
There you go.
I think that would be pretty awesome
that
if they could
cool.
make that happen. That would be awesome. We're getting set for this game six. That's all there really is today. Come on. Let's be serious. The Golden State Warriors won last night. Who cares? It's all about this game six. There's so many storylines. We're going to hear from Chris Kerber a little bit later. Martin Kilcoyne will be joining us down from the Enterprise Center, as will Frank Cusimano as we rejoin, or they rejoin us as well. Something that has not been mentioned at all by anybody that I know of.
Uh-oh.
And it has everything to do with tonight.
Just tonight. So this
just
this,
tonight.
This does not extend either to a possible Game 7 on Thursday or to Game 1 on Monday.
It is a thing. It is the Clarence Campbell Bowl.
They don't touch it, right?
You do not touch it. But we hope like hell we see that tonight on the ice at the Enterprise Center.
Isn't it bad luck if you touch it and then you're destined to lose in the Stanley Cup Final?
That's what they say. I'm not sure I believe in superstitions too much, but you know what? At this point, I'm not tempting fate. Just don't touch it. Get your picture with it. Probably Bill Daly will be here and they'll get a picture, a team photo, and you move on. It is the forgotten trophy, as is the Prince of Wales Trophy on the Eastern Conference side in the National Hockey League. But it could be returning. It could be the first time ever. Because
it's a nice-looking trophy.
It's not bad, is it?
No.
It's a big, you know, big cup-looking thing. It's not like the Stanley Cup, but it's not bad-looking.
And it has been here twice.
It has been here.
Yes.
But it hasn't been awarded to the Blues here, correct?
Oh, you mean awarded in St. Louis.
Yes. Because
that's a good question.
The reason is I think they started giving away that version of it like 93-ish.
Oh, this version of
this
it.
Version.
Okay.
I believe that's and we can maybe look that up. But the reality is I don't think the Blues have ever actually had it in their possession. And there could be that opportunity tonight to see the Clarence Campbell Bowl. It's not called trophy. It's called bowl. And that's what the Blues are playing for tonight, as they get ready to take on the San Jose Sharks.
So it was given to the West Division regular season champs. So it has been awarded the Blues twice, 68-69.
They did get it. 68,
yes.
Okay.
Then 69-70. And then it started to be handed to the Campbell Conference regular season champs, which it never was awarded here. Then the Campbell Conference playoffs champion, again, not awarded here. And then finally starting in 93, the Western Conference playoffs.
Okay, so it has been here. It was 93
again,
when they changed the
not
conference.
Awarded here yet during that time.
It could be tonight. It could be tonight. I know everybody wants that. I have not heard anyone in the last 24 hours that doesn't think it's not going to happen.
And just having Pierre McGuire on from NBC last segment,
yes,
he mentioned that it's basically up to Martin Jones to keep San Jose in the series. And all due respect to a guy who was a key contributor to a 3-1 series comeback,
mm-hmm,
for San Jose. Just kind of seems like the Blues have his number a little bit.
They do, and Martin Jones has been really good at times, and he's been shaky at times throughout his career in the playoff. In fact, if you go before he went on his little run to get them through the Vegas Golden Knights, they were thinking of pulling him. And they were really serious about, I don't know if we can go with Martin Jones anymore. I'm not saying he's been that bad, but he has let in a few goals, and the Blues have found that spot. And that spot is above the shoulders on the left side or the right side. It really does seem to be that for the St. Louis Blues. The other side of this is, and I get where Pierre is coming from, and if you want to win a game like this, your team's down, you need your goalie to be the absolute best he can be. Ben Bishop has been as good as anybody against the St. Louis Blues, and he was as good as anybody we may see in that Game 7. The Blues found a way to win. The other side of this is the Sharks have one goal in the last six periods against the St. Louis Blues, and they have been outscored 11-4 since the end of the first period of Game 3 of this series. The Blues have dominated the San Jose Sharks.
And the Sharks have grown progressively less healthy.
Yes.
As that has, I think I phrased that properly.
Yes.
As that has as progressed, especially at the end of Game 4, then going into Game 5 with Erik Karlsson. It just seems like, I don't know, I can't guarantee a win. I know that there's been weirder things that have happened than a team coming back from 3-2. I know weirder things to the Blues have happened than a team coming back from 3-2. It just seems like now's the time, though. Everything just seems to be trending in the right direction.
Had a conversation with a family member last night, and it was one of those, can you believe what's happening? And you kind of go back and you kind of summarize what's going on. You go, okay, so you're in last place. You come from out of nowhere. You dominate the league once you figure out what you need to do. And I'm talking about when Craig Berube fixed what was going on. You dominated the end of the regular season. You get in, you beat the Winnipeg Jets. You dominate them in the elimination game. I mean, you just flat out dominated them. You have a guy in Jordan Binnington who was the fourth on the depth chart when training camp started. It wasn't even a blip on the radar screen. And now he is the catalyst for where you're at and where you're going with this hockey team. You avenge the double overtime loss with Steve Yzerman from years ago with your own double overtime victory by a kid from St. Louis who, and people may not like this, but who at the beginning of the year was being benched at times.
There was rumors of him being on waivers.
Yeah, on waivers. And he, you know, he had a trouble finding his way to figure out what his role was. And now he has found it, and he's flourished at an unbelievable pace. You had guys like Steen on the top line. And Maroon, by the way, was on the first power play unit in the first month of the season and then vanished. Steen was playing first and second line minutes. Now he's playing on the fourth line, and that fourth line has become one of the best lines in the playoffs. You can just continue to go down the line. You had the door slammed in your face on the hand pass, and you could have just folded the tents. Instead, you've come back, and you're leading your one game away. I mean, when you summarize all of those things, I talked about it yesterday, something we mentioned about 2 months ago, the degrees of separation from the Scott Stevens thing, which leads to Jordan Binnington.
Yes.
I mean, it's all there. If you're believing in karma and all of those things, it's all right there for the St. Louis Blues.
It is funny with Binnington and how really his playing net has facilitated and launched all of this. You can pinpoint him getting starts in net and then the Blues' ascension through the standings into the playoff race and then ultimately to a game away from the Stanley Cup. I was just thinking about it this morning. All the avenues the Blues have tried under Doug Armstrong to find that goalie that they needed. Yaroslav Halak. Finding Brian Elliott, losing a little bit of faith in Brian Elliott, going big on Ryan Miller, and then Ryan Miller kind of falling apart in the playoffs and having his mind more so on a family wedding after that postseason run ended. Kind of alternating between Jake Allen and Elliott, back and forth, back and forth. No, it's Allen. No, it's Elliott. No, it's not.
Yes.
And then for it to finally come down to, and even saying, hey, Ville Husso, he's our guy in the minors. He'll be our guy in the future. And then for it to all come down on a goalie who was forgotten about in the organization, who almost found himself outside of the organization if it weren't for one kind of last-minute assignment to an AHL team that kept him here. Because he seemed about ready just to kind of give it up. For it to fall on this is just kind of storybookish.
It really is a fairy tale at this point, and we'll see what takes place. And I think I mentioned this yesterday. You take it a step further. If you win tonight, you have a chance to avenge two World Series losses, a Super Bowl loss, and Bobby Orr's goal, even though the Blues didn't have a chance back in 1970 to beat the Bruins, to beat the Blues in the Stanley Cup final. All those things would be avenged with a win over the Boston Bruins. So, I mean, you have everything sitting there, and the storybook continues, and hopefully it'll continue tonight. One note from the text line, Crosby touched the Prince of Wales trophy in 09 and went on to lift a cup. So there you go. It's possible. You can touch it if you want tonight and still move on. I don't know if I'm quite ready to just don't. Just, you know what, you can touch it when you're done. When the entire season's over, then you can go over and reach it. Hey, now we can get our pitcher and touch this thing and hoist it and do whatever you want with it. But by that point, if you get your end goal, the Clarence Campbell Bowl will be just like nothing more than a trinket or a keychain, meaning because you'll have that other thing, the right. Stanley Cup, the hoist, and go, hey, we got this, and oh, there's that other thing. Anybody want to skate around with that? You're more than happy to do that. We're going to talk about keys and things a little bit later on. One thing I will have a note here. Sharks, obviously, 4-0 in elimination games during this playoff run. It's pretty good. It's not the same feel, though, because of where they're at health-wise, as Brian, you just pointed out. But in three of those four games that they won, they scored the first goal. Is that the trigger mechanism and one of the keys to tonight's game? I'm curious. Your thoughts? Because it's proven factual so far in this series.
It has, and you don't want to put too much emphasis on scoring early, but it does seem like going back to how San Jose reacted to that 5-0 deficit late in the third, especially Evander Kane, the way he was acting at the end of that game. They did look a little mentally broken down to a degree.
Agreed.
Like they were starting to crumble a bit. Boy, if you can score early tonight, I feel like the Blues would be more likely to come back from an early 1-0 deficit than San Jose would be.
Yes.
And I go back to 3 years ago where Blues did not play well in Game 5 here at home. They went back to San Jose. I believe the Sharks might have scored early or at least ran away with it, and the Blues never recovered.
Right. That is true.
And I think maybe you can see a repeat of that tonight.
Your point about the Blues being the one team that overcomes an early goal, and I think you're right. Remember, they overcame a 2-goal deficit, scored 4 in the second, and that was the hand pass game.
Yes.
So, I mean, they have proven they are not without coming back in tough situations.
I should have looked it up earlier. I just did now because I would have sounded a lot smarter because San Jose did score within the first 4 minutes of Game 6 3 years ago. It then ended up going up by as much as a 4-0 lead midway through the third. So I feel like that's what you need to do. I'm not going to put a timestamp on it because that's unfair, but score first.
Yes.
And then you'll put San Jose on their heels.
Yeah, and it goes without saying, and we might not even find out after the skate here this morning on who San Jose is really going to play.
And as Tim Van Gelded mentions, the Blues are undefeated this year in elimination games. The first chance they get to put a team away, it's only been two, Winnipeg Jets and then Dallas in Game 7, they've done it. And Pierre mentioned Game 6 against Winnipeg as an example of what you want to see tonight. That was really up until midway through the third period when Winnipeg kind of crept back a little bit. That was all Blues.
Yep.
Just dominating that game.
They dominated. They did not give either side, meaning Winnipeg or Dallas, attempts on goal. That's what they did really well, obviously, in the win the other night. They've kept the traffic out of away from Binnington, so he's been able to see a lot of pucks. There's a lot of positives, a lot of reasons. All I know is if it doesn't go well, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in this city. So just take care of business tonight, and let's all move on to a final against the Boston Bruins. I would love to see that. It is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. We're right up against the top of the hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. The guys will rejoin us in the 11 o'clock hour. That would be Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne from the Enterprise Center. We'll hear from Chris Kerber in the 11 o'clock hour and much, much more. It is 590 The Fan and 590TheFan.com.